You know that saying, the grass isn't always greener on the other side? In the world of fantasy basketball, sometimes it is. I'm about to break down the players that find themselves in new situations with the potential to help your team keep going. This first guy I'm going to discuss just joined my Milwaukee Bucks via trade. One of the best guards in the NBA, and now he gets to pair with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm talking about Mr. Dame Time, Damian Lillard. So Damian Lillard is clearly a guy that you need to get in the first round. He might slip to the second round, unlikely though. But I really like his potential to produce in combination with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Just a few days ago, Damian Lillard made a comment about the fact that he was getting trapped and double teamed immediately, and that he found himself being able to just throw it down to Giannis, and he said, I can do this all night. So last season, Damian Lillard averaged 32 points, 4 rebounds, 7.3 assists. He did so on 46% from the field, 37% from the three-point line, made 4.2 three-pointers. And that was on a pretty bare-bones Portland Trailblazers team. So being able to have Giannis now is definitely going to help his efficiency. It's going to help the defensive attention being drawn away from him, the same way he's going to draw a lot of defensive attention. Outside of Steph Curry, Damian Lillard is essentially on a league of his own. Now, Dame isn't a guy that you're going to pick up for his ability to get you steals and blocks. So if you value those categories, you want to make sure you're addressing them with other players. The next guy on my list is Jrue Holiday. Even though we got Damian Lillard, it did hurt to get rid of Jrue Holiday. He was one of my favorite players in the NBA even before the Bucks traded for him. He's been a great fantasy contributor for years now. That made me a fan of his. So when my Bucks had him, I was happy. And when we traded him away, I was sad, especially with the team he just ended up with. So Jrue played 67 games last year, 33 minutes per game, made 2.4 threes at 38% shooting, shot almost 48% from the field. His free throw percentage was almost 86%. Free throw percentage, very strong season there. Got you over 5 rebounds, 7.4 assists to only 2.9 turnovers. Got you over a steal per game, close to half a block per game. Very, very efficient player. I'm assuming his scoring is going to go down on a Boston Celtics team that has Kristaps Porzingis, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I still think he's going to be efficient. I think he's going to be able to focus more on defense. And he's going to be able to do a lot of the things that Marcus Smart did for the Boston Celtics. Another guy that was part of that trade was Jusuf Nurkić, who is now with the Phoenix Suns. Historically been a quality fantasy player when healthy. The problem is he's rarely healthy. Last season, in about 52 games, playing about 27 minutes per game, Jusuf Nurkić got you 13 points, 0.8 steals, 0.8 blocks, close to 3 assists, but that did come with 2.3 turnovers. So I'm not crazy about that assist to turnover ratio, but he got you over 9 rebounds. The free throw percentage is an area where he hurts you. 0.8 three-pointers made was a new wrinkle to his game and something I hope to see more of. And his field goal percentage, close to 52% on about 9.7 attempts. I think he'll have his opportunities on a Suns team that does not have a lot of quality big men. And if he can do play defense, play cleanup duty, get rebounds, and, you know, put backs and have some plays drawn for him, it doesn't hurt to have someone like Jusuf Nurkić as your big man. I think having Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker is going to open up the floor for him. And if he can stay healthy, I like his ability to help you, especially considering he's going after pick 100. Another player that finds himself on a new team is DeAndre Ayton, who is now with the Portland Trailblazers. DeAndre Ayton is a big man who's going to get you a decent free throw percentage for a big. He's going to be efficient from the field. He's not going to get you any threes. He's going to be a decent rebounder. He gets you more turnovers than assists. He's still under 2 turnovers, but assists is essentially something you won't get from him. The steals and blocks, not great either. He's very similar to what you get from someone like Jonas Valanciunas. I do like his opportunity on a Blazers team that got rid of Jusuf Nurkić, and they're going for a bit of a youth movement. I like his fit with a lot of those players on the Blazers, like Jeremy Grant, Anfernee Simons. I think he's going to be able to help your team. I'm seeing him go in drafts around the 40 to 55 range. So if you want him, that's where you'll have to target him. I'm someone that values big men that can get me a double-double while not hurting my free throw percentage and helping my field goal percentage. Another big man that is now on the Portland Trail Blazers is Robert Williams. You can see here, Robert Williams only played 35 games last season. Played about 23 minutes per game. He averaged 1.4 blocks, got you 0.6 steals, only one turnover per game, got you over 8 rebounds. He hurt your free throw percentage. He's very efficient from the field, 74.7% last season, and he did all of this in limited minutes. If he's able to secure those 24 minutes per game, this is a guy you can grab after pick 100 that'll help your blocks, that'll help your rebounding, and it'll help your field goal percentage. So if those are categories that you're targeting, keep them in mind. Another big man I'm a fan of is Kristaps Porzingis. Last year, Kristaps was a player that I kind of avoided, but I was really happy with the production he got me when he was with the Wizards. Last season, he averaged 23 points, 8.4 rebounds, 2.7 assists. He played 65 games and played close to 33 minutes per game. Hit over 2 3-pointers last season, shooting 38% from the three-point line. Free throws, 6.4 attempts, and he made 85% of those free throws. 8 rebounds per game, 2.7 assists, 2.1 turnovers, getting me 0.9 steals, and 1.5 blocks. So he helps you in so many categories that I value. I love big men that help my free throw percentage, that can rebound, can get me blocks, and can get me threes. He fits that bill. He is a bit injury prone, so don't be shocked if he misses 20 to 30 games. But I like his fit on that Boston Celtics team. And with all the defensive attention you're getting drawn away from when you have Jason Tatum on that team, you have Jaylen Brown on, you have Drew Holiday now, who's a great playmaker and defender. I think Kristaps Porzingis is going to take a hit to his scoring, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see an increase to his rebounding, his shot blocking, continue getting you 2+ threes per game, getting you close to a steal per game. I think this is a guy that's going to be on a lot of successful fantasy teams this season. Freddie V is a point guard I am a huge fan of. Now, one of the other rules that I like telling you guys is, if a player's going to hurt my field goal percentage, he has to make up for it by getting me a lot of steals. That's why I value Fred VanVleet. So last season, on a Toronto Raptors team, where he had a smaller role than I anticipate in having this season, he got you 19.3 points, 4.1 rebounds, 7.2 assists. Now he does hurt you from the field. He took 16 attempts per game and only made 39% of them. But he hit 3 3-pointers per game. His free throw percentage on 4 attempts per game is almost 90%. Got you over 4 rebounds, 7.2 assists, only 2 turnovers. I love players that help my assist to turnover ratio. 1.8 steals, so elite steals from this guy. 0.6 blocks per game. On a new team where he's going to have the ball, he's going to have more usage, and they're going to play fast, I really like the opportunity for Fred VanVleet to beat where he's being drafted at right now, which is in the 25 to 35 range. I've been targeting him around that second, third round area, and I think that's an ideal spot to pick him up, because if he continues getting you those assists, those steals, if he continues getting elite free throw percentage, elite threes, the areas in which he's helping you just completely outdo the areas in which he's hurt. Max Strus is now with a Cleveland Cavaliers team where he is very likely to be a starter. 3-point shooter, even though he only made 35% from the 3-point line, I think he can beat that on this new team. Played 80 games, got you about 28 minutes per game. His field goal percentage is only 41%. He helps your free throw percentage. He gets you a sprinkle of assists, only 0.9 turnovers. The steals and blocks doesn't really help you there. But if you're banking on somebody with sleeper potential, he's likely to get more minutes. They have some good players there like Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, and he's going to help a lot stretching the floor. I like his opportunity to help you. I wouldn't pick him any sooner than maybe your last pick in the draft, but there's a lot of upside here for him. The Cleveland Cavaliers have a pretty strong playoff schedule, depending on your league format and when your playoffs are. Rashawn Holmes is a guy that was actually a highly valued center in fantasy basketball because he could help you in so many different areas. But then what happened is the Kings traded for Domantas Sabonis, and he was relegated to about 8 to 10 minutes off the bench, which was not enough for him to produce. He is no longer on the Kings, and he is now on a Dallas Mavericks team that essentially has a rookie. He will have to compete with Derek Lively for minutes, but when you have a rookie, unproven, I think there'll be opportunity for him to get 20-25 minutes per game, and I think that's enough for Rashawn Holmes to help your team, considering he's not really being drafted in most formats, or if you're in a deeper format, Rashawn Holmes is someone who should be on your radar. The point god, Chris Paul, finds himself on the Golden State Warriors, and I'm excited to see how he does. Last season, Chris Paul averaged almost 14 points per game, got you over 4 rebounds per game, and 8.9 assists. Last season for the Suns, he played 59 games, played 32 minutes per game, made 1.7 threes at 37% from the field, 44% from the field on 11.3 field goal attempts. His free throw percentage is at 83%, and he got you 1.5 steals. What I love about Chris Paul is he gets you 8.9 assists to only 1.9 turnovers. Of those hyper-efficient players, that doesn't hurt you as far as turnovers while getting you elite assist numbers. And I really value those guys. Do keep in mind that Chris Paul is getting up there in age. He's almost as old as LeBron. And for an undersized player that's dealt with injuries the majority of his career, if he does fall off, the fall off will be really sudden. It happened with Steve Nash. He was one of those timeless point guards that never seemed to age. And then he got to the Lakers and he was retired within a year. I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Chris Paul. But I really do like the fact he's playing with Steph Curry. He's playing with Klay Thompson. So you have two of the best shooters in NBA history. Maestro out there like Chris Paul passing them the ball. I predict some good things. I've seen Chris Paul going in drafts around that 70 to 80 range. So if you want him on your team, that's where you'll have to target him. Another point guard that's a stud as far as getting you a lot of assists while not turning the ball over finds himself on a brand new team with more opportunity than he had on his old one. If you don't know who I'm talking about Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones averaged 10.3 points, 5.2 assists. He shot 44% from the field, made 1.5 threes at 37%, made 80% of his free throws, though that was on low volume. Got you 5.2 assists and only 0.9 turnovers while getting you a steal per game. He did that in about 24 minutes per game, and now he finds himself on a Wizards team where it's very possible for him to get 30-plus minutes. I love the combination of stats he helps me with. He helps me in a lot of the categories that I value. Now, I don't know if sleeper is the right term because you do need to pick him around the 70 to 85 range. And I think that's about fair value for what you're going to get. This is the best situation he has found himself in. With the Memphis Grizzlies, he only produced when there was an injury to someone like Ja Morant. Bruce Brown is a utility player that finds himself on a new team. He has some championship shine after winning a championship with the Nuggets. Why do I like Bruce Brown? Shot 48% from the field. Got you over a three per game. The free throw percentage at 75% is average for a guard. But I do like his positional flexibility. The fact that he can play point guard, shooting guard, and small forward. He got you 3.4 assists to only 1.5 turnovers. Got you over a steal per game, 0.6 blocks per game. So a point guard eligible player that's getting me 0.6 blocks. If you pair him with guys like Fred VanVleet, who also get you about 0.6, those little 0.6s add up because a lot of guards only get you 0.1, 0.2. So if a guy gets you 0.2 and Bruce Brown's getting you 0.6, that's 3 times more blocks you're getting, even though it doesn't seem like a lot just looking at it here. He does a little bit of everything, and I like his opportunity on a Pacers team that at some point may get rid of Buddy Hield. They haven't extended him. Maybe they just want to see how he produces this season. But to me, it seems like the writing's on the wall and that they're going to move in a different direction. So the fact that they signed Bruce Brown, I think, bodes well for his fantasy value this season. Obi Toppin is another new player on the Indiana Pacers that I expect some pretty big things from. Obi Toppin hasn't played a lot of minutes so far in his NBA career. We did see a flash of his potential at the end of last season when he found himself getting over 30 minutes per game. You can see right here in those games, he scored 21 points, 32 points, and his very last game scored 34 points with 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. He hit 5 3-pointers. All right. So in three of those four games, he hit at least 3 3-pointers. And in two of those games, he hit 5 3-pointers. He did so with efficiency. Look at this, 23 field goal attempts, shot 56%. That is why this guy is a sleeper and people are picking him up at the end of the draft, because the Pacers have already said he's likely to be the starting power forward. The skill has always been there, but the opportunity was not there. Obi Toppin is one of those guys that has the potential to change the trajectory of your season. He can be had really late in drafts. This next guy is known for fumbling the bag a few seasons ago when he was with the Lakers. He tried to play for more money, turned down a contract he has yet to receive. We see him on a new team now. A lot of upside. He has a lot of potential, but his fantasy game can be a little questionable. The guy I'm talking about is Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder is on a Raptors team that got rid of Fred VanVleet. Well, Fred VanVleet's gone. They didn't get rid of him. But Fred VanVleet being gone means that Dennis Schroeder will now have a big opportunity to fill his shoes. Now, what do I like about Dennis Schroeder? He's a guy that can get you decent assist to turnover ratio. He can score. He's efficient from the free throw line, but he kind of lacks threes. He tends to hurt you from the field, and he can be somewhat inconsistent. Still, this is a guy that can be had pretty late in the draft, and if the crop of point guards is drying up, he makes some sense because he has some upside, and I like his fit with a lot of those other players on the Raptors, the same core as last year. But they've replaced Fred VanVleet with Dennis Schroeder. This next player is very similar to Fred VanVleet in the fact that he hurts your field goal percentage, but he has the ability to help you with assists and steals at a very high level. Who am I talking about? You figured it out. Consider yourself a smart one. It is Marcus Smart. So Marcus Smart has always had to compete for touches with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. He's inefficient, doesn't hit from the field, but he gets you close to 2 3-pointers per game. The free throw percentage does leave a lot to be desired, but still got you 6.3 assists last season, 1.5 steals, only 2.3 turnovers, given the fact he's getting me over 6 assists. I like his new opportunity with the Memphis Grizzlies because A, Ja Morant is likely, no, not likely, will miss 25 games due to a suspension, which means you have 25 games of Marcus Smart having a lot of usage, being the main point guard on that team. They don't have Tyus Jones anymore, so I think the guy's going to have the ball a lot. And they have some pretty decent shooters on that Memphis Grizzlies team, namely Jaren Jackson Jr., and Desmond Bane. And Marcus Smart out there, decent playmaker with decent passing, it's going to benefit his game a lot. Now, Marcus Smart, typically you can draft him around the 80 to 100 range, depending on the risk appetite your league has for his poor field goal percentage and his ability to hurt you from the free throw line. After being in trade rumors for what seems like years, big man who's efficient from the field, can get you some threes and some blocks, has some new opportunity to produce. Where does he fit in on his new team? That's something I'm very excited to see, because this guy can be had in drafts pretty late. I'd say in that 100 to 105 range, you're able to grab this guy. Of course, I'm talking about John Collins. Now, John Collins did not produce to the expectations I had for him last season. He did get you 13 points, 6.5 rebounds. He doesn't get you assists. But in the past, I liked the fact that he could get you blocks and he could get you threes. So last season, only got you a 3 per game on under 30% shooting. I want to see an improvement there. He took 10 shots per game, made about 51% of them. So that I like. But this is a guy that we saw in the past be a top 20, 30, 40 caliber player. It seems like the Hawks soured on him as much as he soured on them. But on a Utah Jazz team that has someone like Lauri Markkanen that's likely to play the three, and Walker Kessler at center, I think John Collins makes a lot of sense as a power forward. He doesn't have center eligibility this season, which is a little frustrating. Hopefully that is something that he gets you, because it would make him a lot more flexible for your team. This is another big man, shot 80% from the free throw line last season while getting me that block per game. And if you've been listening, I value guys that help my free throw percentage and also get me blocks. I think he has the potential to do both. For a guy going again after pick 100, I think he has huge sleeper appeal. And the last guy on my list is the tsunami poppy Kelly Oubre Jr., who last season averaged 20.3 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. Why is he on my list? He finds himself on the Philadelphia 76ers now. So this is a guy that can play small forward, he can play power forward, he can play shooting guard, he can score, he can defend. Last season, he got you 1.4 steals per game, only 1.3 turnovers per game. The free throw percentage and the field goal percentage leave a lot to be desired, but that's not why I'm grabbing him. I'm grabbing him because the guy can score, he can get me those steals, and he can hit threes at a high level. Even though he's not efficient from there, he still got you over 2 3-pointers per game. In my experience, Kelly Oubre is also a guy that tends to fall off in your draft. He gets drafted really late, but always seems to step up to the occasion and always find himself getting starter minutes. If the 76ers get rid of James Harden, that would open up a lot of usage, minutes, and touches, and I can see Kelly Oubre getting some of that shine. Do you see Kelly Oubre producing this season on his new team? Let me know in the comments. If you've been enjoying this content, do me a favor and smash that like button for me. And subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops. If you have not yet, make sure you're clicking that bell notification so that you can get these videos as soon as they drop and give you a huge edge over your competition. Another way to get an edge over your competition is by buying the draft guide that I made in collaboration with my guy, Excel. I've been telling you about it for a few weeks now. Take advantage of this opportunity. It's only $9.99 and I have it full of information to give you the biggest edge possible against your competition. We do some deep dives in there. We have data analysis. We have trends. We have charts. The information in there was specifically made so that you know who to target and where to target them during your draft. If you combine the guide with the videos that I'm making here, it's going to be very unlikely that you don't have a successful season. Not only that, but you get to support the work that I'm doing here at Brock Lesnar Hoops and support me as a small content creator that puts a lot of energy, passion, and work into making this channel to help you have a successful fantasy basketball season. I also still have a couple of leagues that I'm looking to fill. I have a $25 entry fee league where I still have a couple of openings, and I also have a $100 buy-in league. Both of these leagues draft this weekend. So there's going to be a link in my description for you to inquire if you're interested in joining either one of those leagues. Those are administered via LeagueSafe just to make sure that nothing funny is happening with your money. If you want to be part of Brock Lesnar Hoops and be part of the subscriber leagues that I am currently running, reach out to me and let's get you in there. The draft is coming up, so you're running out of time. Make sure you're checking out this video right over here because it's going to get you right with information to dominate your draft over the next few days. The season starts next week. I have a whole playlist ready to go of content that I've made over the last month, specifically tailored to giving you as much information as possible so that when you are in the middle of your draft, you feel like you're in the Matrix. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. See ya.